Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Although it has not been widely reported, Joe Biden has decided he's too busy or too tired to waste his time sitting in on the weekly coronavirus meetings with all 50 governors. So he puts somebody else in charge. And it's not Kamala. You won't believe this when you hear it. Hey, we always say elections matter, but there's no better example than the state of Kansas. Reliably read, Trump won in a landslide, and the legislature is very conservative. But the governor is not. Laura Kelly is now known as Governor Veto, and it couldn't be at a worse time during a pandemic. We explore why it's so important to stay motivated, even during midterms. The early results of the census are in, and shocker, it seems Americans don't want to live where the Dems are in charge. This is all good news as we begin to talk about taking back the House in 2022. In sports, when was the last time you looked up game times and starting pitchers for a Royals series? Well, it's on again in KC. TV ratings are up, the Royals are in Pittsburgh for a couple of funky start times, and I'm all in. This is crazy fun. Bill Belichick joins Tom Brady in hating the new uniform number rule in the NFL that the Chiefs put in place. So I like the rule. BetMGM makes a costly mistake on a Patrick Mahomes wager. This is a fun story. And did we just witness the greatest game anyone has ever played since Babe Ruth? I think so. We'll make that argument. Brought to you by Fry Orthodontics, 12 area locations for your convenience. First appointment is always free at Fry Ortho. Had a couple of listeners say we were partway through braces with their daughter or their son or whatever, and we switched to Fry. You can do that as well. You can switch right in the middle. If you just want to know who you're doing business with and what kind of company and what kind of people, you're not going to do any better than Dr. Jeremy and his team at Fry Orthodontics, 12 locations where your smile is just the start. And now, free retainers for life and Invisalign for the same price as braces. Cool stuff. Elite Automation, designing and installing intelligent building systems that can save you thousands off your utility bills. If you are a mechanical contractor, or if you know somebody that has a building or operates in this space with warehouses, office buildings, churches, schools, any bigger buildings, they need to meet these people at Elite Automation because they will save money. Everyone wins. And if you just want to kick this in as well, we save energy, which is always a good thing to try to do, not just save money. Make your building great again at Elite Automation, specializing in retrofitting that control system that you have for maximum comfort and savings. What's your building costing you? Call Elite Energy and find out. 913-766-2188. That's 766-2188. Online at eliteautomate.com. Back 9 Development, the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere. A couple of listeners have ponied up and they're doing this. Investment properties, second homes, college kids, nothing like it anywhere in the Midwest. Right there on the most spectacular golf course you've ever seen, Colbert Hills in Manhattan. Between the first and the 10th holes, it's the Solheim at Grandmere. Upscale condominium starting at $249 with a resort pool, fitness club, elevators, clubhouse, parking, the whole thing. It's great. These are really awesome units. They'll be open and ready to go for the K-State football season this fall. If you like lakes, hunting, laking at Milford or Tuttle, so many things to do in the Flint Hills, what a great place to have a lock-and-leave location. And it's a great investment right now. Back9development.com. That's the numeral 9, back9development.com. For the Solheim at Grandmere, or call my buddy TJ Vilkanskis at 785-236-0161. I'm going to be touring the site this weekend when I'm in Manhattan. I can't wait to see the Solheim Condominiums at Grandmere. Okay, Joe Biden is too busy or too tired to sit in on those coronavirus meetings with the governors. You won't believe who he's put in charge. Hit it!
Roberts Robinson Chevrolet Buick GMC presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Shop, click, drive at robertsrobinson.com.
Last week, we did a podcast on stupid decisions in sports, stupid things in sports. And as part of that discussion, you know, I shared with you that it's been my experience through the years watching people in big leadership positions that a lot of times they're not nearly as smart or competent as people may think because you don't really know them. You're not around them. You don't see them. They're in positions of leadership, so they have a title or something, and they sit in at the dais in front of a camera, and they look like they know everything that's going on. And it's been my experience in sports, certainly, that that is not always the case, that some people climb to a level that it just kind of, you know, boggles your mind how they got there. And one of the reasons that I brought it up is I really have seriously been concerned and thinking about. That's exactly what we've done here at the highest levels of government in the United States. I mean, everybody completely rejected Kamala Harris. I mean, she was the first to drop out of the primaries, completely rejected, and understand what she is and how incompetent she is. And Joe Biden is just a last man standing after 48 years in Washington, D.C. And we've watched a lot of these moves, and we know that other people are telling him what to do. We know that he's decided, I personally think this about Joe Biden. I think he has decided, I'm going to let them take me as far left as they want to go in hopes that, however short my stint here is as president, that someday this liberal agenda, this socialist agenda will be implemented in the United States, that there will be one party rule, that we will have control, that our party will be of the utmost power for decades to come. And somebody will look back to the 2020 election and say, when Joe Biden got elected, that's where it started. Joe Biden is the one who took us way left because he's doing things that Obama never did. Never, ever, ever did. I think Obama wanted to, and I think Obama in many ways was very radical. And I think Obama clearly was the person who drove the wedge between this country, that just drove a complete wedge through the right and the left. I think that occurred in his 8 years. I've said about a million times now, Trump never happens if not for Obama. So I think we saw that, and I think all these things that Obama wishes he had done are now being implemented, and he's probably the most powerful person in America. If Barack Obama wants something done at the executive level of the federal government, he'll get it done. He'll just call Biden, and it'll happen. I think Biden has just acquiesced to all of them and said, I'll just do whatever. Whatever you guys want me to do, I'll do. And hopefully I'll be remembered someday as the guy that was president when all this shift took place. I don't think he's passionate about these things. I don't think Biden is as far left as his policies at this point. I think he's just doing them because that's where the party's taking him, and he's along for the ride. And improving along for the ride and improving incompetence at the highest level, and this person isn't quite suited for the job or smart enough to do something. The good thing is there are checks and balances in our federal government. And I've been reading a lot recently about, and we'll get into this in a couple of moments, about how much more important that we all get fixated on the federal government, and more particularly in the president, and how the president and the federal government really don't affect your life as much as you think they do. That there are other elements of our country and our society that are much more important. And a lot of people will argue that getting involved in things that are happening locally or at the state level are far more important for you in your life than anything to do with a president or at the federal level. And maybe that's true, but as I watch Biden and the things that he's doing and the way they've opened the borders, there's nothing we can do about that. There doesn't seem to be anything Texas and Arizona can do about it. So it's happening, and those are Republican, Texas certainly Republican controlled, but Arizona's basically Republican controlled as well, even though they lost the Senate seat there in this past election, and we still have we still don't know who won Arizona, by the way. There's a very serious recount, forensic balloting taking place over maybe a couple of months. It's underway right now in Arizona, and there is no shortage of people that believe when that is done that Trump will have won Arizona easily. We'll see what happens. It's not going to swing the election, certainly, but we'll see. I think it will be a very interesting exercise for all of us to get the data from Arizona when they're done with the forensic analysis of what transpired in the election there. So, but, you know, Biden's changed the border and there isn't much you can do about it. This is a gigantic story that nobody is talking about because this is very concerning to me. As we know, through COVID-19, there have been conference calls from the White House with all 50 governors. Trump started it. He was in on the calls. He opened it to cameras. We saw Trump in action. We saw what a leader he was and how he basically told all the governors, we like what you're doing in your states. We support you. Even the Democrats, he'd be on there with the people from Michigan or California. He said at one point, him and Gavin Newsom said, look, we get along on this. We're working together on this. The virus is too big a deal. You know, we got a lot of political issues, but we're working together. We could see how Trump was a unifier, how he brought all 50 governors together and said, let's attack this. I want to get resources to you, but man, you got to take this over in your state. You have to own this. You have to own it. It was great leadership. It was tremendous leadership. We all saw it. We watched it live in real time. We're like, that's a leader. That's the way you do it. We will get you the resources. We will get you the breathing machines. We'll get you a vaccine as soon as it's available. We'll get you all the medicine you need, all the beds. We'll send a Navy ship We'll convert it to a hospital. We'll do whatever we have to do. You tell us what you need and we'll get it done for you, but you've got to figure out what you need in your state. We cannot do that from the White House. Well, Joe Biden has just backed out of this. These governor calls, all 50 governors, he's not even in the room. The president doesn't even sit in. He doesn't have 20 minutes in his day, 30 minutes in his day, to sit in and start the meeting with the governors before they all share their experiences, their ideas, and this is unbelievable to me. That's not even the big story. The big story is who he's put in charge. It's not Kamala. The 50 governors on the conference call, the weekly call for the virus, the pandemic, and how we're dealing with it, the president's out. He doesn't send Kamala. She must be COVID scared, doesn't even want to talk about it because she says she hasn't visited the border now as the borders are because of COVID. I'm like, you're double vaccinated. Why can't you go to the border? This is absurd. And if the border is a COVID problem, close it. I mean, this is unbelievable, the stuff they come up with. She can't go to the border because of COVID. She's vaccinated. And she can't go to the border because of COVID. If it's that bad with COVID, close it. Stop people from coming in. No. That's too much common sense. Back to the governor's meeting. Again, the headline is you cannot make this up. Joe Biden doesn't sit in. He hasn't given it to Kamala. No. He's put Governor Andrew Cuomo in charge. Cuomo from New York is in charge now of the governor's meetings. All 50 governors, and Cuomo just runs the meeting. You've got to be kidding me. You can't make this stuff up. This is just unbelievable. And if you want something that proves complete incompetence at the executive level, that's it. I can't imagine like 25% of Democrats think that's a good idea because they're all over the guy too. Wow. I mean, that's just an unbelievable headline. And as we talk about what we can do at a local level or a state level, I'm going to use the state of Kansas here, which is my state, but it applies everywhere. Okay, so I want to talk about something here that's not specific to Kansas. There will be some specific things that I will mention about Kansas, but it could be your state if you're not a Kansan, and it's very important. Kansas is ridiculously dominated by Republicans. The state of Kansas went for Donald Trump in a massive way. I mean, he won the thing 56-41. It was a landslide. It wasn't close. And the 3% or whatever of the vote that went to a third-party candidate, those were conservatives who were just, I don't like Trump. I'm voting for somebody else, right? So this really is about a 60-40 state. It's a big swing. There's only 5 counties that Biden won. They're all in what I call the I-70 corridor of Kansas City. You come out of downtown Kansas City and you go into Kansas, and you're right on the borders of Wyandotte and Johnson County. Both of those counties went for Biden. You drive west, you go through Lawrence and Topeka, you're in Douglas County, and that was Biden country. If you continue to go where K-State is, Riley County, and it was close, 50%-49%. Biden wins it. That's a college town. You're going to get that with a big university and all the staff that are there. They overwhelm the rest of the city. Although I have found Manhattan to be one of the most conservative places on earth. However, when I'm there, I don't usually deal with professors and people that work at the university. So that's it. That's where it happened. And even in a place like Wichita, Sedgwick County, Wichita, 55-43 for Trump. That's the city of Wichita is pro-Republican. So we have these Democrats in Topeka now saying that thank God for Laura Kelly, the governor. And a lot of people think midterm elections don't matter. Laura Kelly's the governor for one reason. It was not the opponent. It's because it's midterms. And if the Republicans get control of all of it, they need to change the gubernatorial election back to every 4 years with the president. It needs to be a big election. It cannot be the election where people don't go vote. Not in Kansas. And so Democrats are all saying in Topeka, and they know what a hard job they have, that the governor is a necessary check on Republicans. And I hear this term, and I think, no, that's not true. A necessary check. This is a state that doesn't want what she's giving them. And we're going to learn that next November of 22. She's going to get routed by somebody. She's toast. She is not winning. She's going down in a very big way in 2022. And Trump's coming to Kansas to make sure of it. And when it does, Kansas is going to get fixed fast. Here's what Laura Kelly's been doing. They're calling her Governor Veto now because the Republicans dominate the legislature. And they've been sending over some cool laws. I have said many times, I've sat with my kids forever and tried to teach them about personal finances, about not borrowing money unless you have to, about paying for things, having the money to pay for things that you buy, how to balance your checking account. Don't bounce checks. Don't let your gas tank run down to 10 miles to empty. You know, all of these things, all these common sense things. It's very difficult to do. When your kids are teenagers, this is true. There is a teacher, not all teachers. There is a teacher at school somewhere or a coach at school that kids listen to more than they listen to their parents. It's just a fact of life. I was that way. You were probably that way. Somebody has influence over you that you think, oh, they're not dumb like my parents, right? So the Republicans come up with an idea of a class for all high school students that they have to pass. Civics and financial literacy. This sounds reasonable to me. While we're sitting here teaching geometry that nobody's going to use, not nobody, some people are going to go be doctors and whatever, but most kids are not going to use, and a lot of the algebras and a lot of the science and the things that's never going to be used. What on earth is wrong with teaching American citizens or the kids of the state of Kansas civics and financial literacy? So the bill gets put on Laura Kelly's desk and she vetoes it. Why does she do that? So some of these I understand, like gun safety, transgender athletes, and taxes, lowering taxes. She's against all those. She vetoed all of those. She's vetoed 8 bills in the past couple of weeks. That's the most in 17 years. On Monday, there were 18 provisions in the budget that she struck down, including legislative committees having more authority over federal funds and how they're used. That makes sense to me. Banning state dollars to enforce mask mandates. This was a law put on her desk, and she vetoed it. Republicans are now going to try to override that, and if they get enough votes, they can override this, right? They're going to give this a shot in Kansas, and I think they have a chance on some of these things. But this is absurd. This is not the will of the people. This was an accidental governor. This is why it matters so much to find people, pay attention, and vote. We've talked about getting involved and, you know, volunteering or doing whatever. That's one thing. A lot of people can't do that. You're busy. I get it. But my goodness, you got to vote in the midterms. And you got to convince the rest of the people around you to vote in the midterms. I can't tell you how many people I know that say, I just vote when the presidential election happens. Well, no. If you live in Kansas right now, this is affecting you in a grave way. Kansas could be Florida right now. Kansas, with a Republican governor, could be open for business, telling people to come visit this summer. Kansas is a beautiful state. It's underrated. It is a beautiful state. There's wonderful lakes. There would be hotels and casinos that would be open with no restrictions. There's hunting in the spring and fall that's fantastic. It's not just get on I-70 and drive from Kansas City to Denver. Kansas has some things to offer. It's pretty cool. We have fabulous golf courses. It's okay. And if you live in Iowa, for example, and it's locked down, you may decide to come spend a week in Kansas. It's not very far. It certainly isn't expensive. There's plenty of things to do. You can catch a baseball game. I mean, there's a lot of things you could do. But Kansas is not in that position to be that state right now. They're not in a position to capitalize on this because Laura Kelly won the election. And that's the only reason. I had a listener send me an email, and I've asked all of you to send me emails about places you know are open. Eagle Fitness in Liberty, Missouri is not requiring masks. It's a great fitness center. Apparently, unbelievable conservatives run that place. Love it. And people have been going there through the pandemic. Drop your big gym membership, your corporate gym membership. Drive a little further if you have to. Go to Liberty. Eagle Fitness, they welcome you. Right? Places like that. But he said in the same email, he goes, Downstream Casino, which is just south of Joplin. I went by there a couple times on COVID runs when I was doing the COVID thing because I went down to pick up COVID tests from the hospital in Joplin, which, by the way, is nicer than any hospital in Kansas City. If you don't know the story of Joplin, Missouri, and the tornado they had many years ago, it wiped out a lot, including their hospital. The feds completely built them a brand new hospital, and it is unbelievable. just a few miles from that hospital, right across the Oklahoma border, it's maybe 5 miles, is the casino. And apparently it is completely open for business now, not like the casinos here. It's 100% capacity. There are no masks. There's live music. They've got a resort hotel and a golf course there. It is a fabulous destination just across the state line in Oklahoma. I tell you this because you might want to do a weekend getaway where you don't have to worry about your mask and you want to go have some fun, play some cards, get a steak, play a round of golf, lounge by the resort pool. It's summertime. We're looking for those places. My guess is that place is going to be packed, and that's in Oklahoma. That could have been Kansas. Because these elections matter. The midterms matter. What happens at the local level matters. On a very big scale, it matters. We need to keep paying attention to that. I'm going to keep beating that drum right here. We had some good news with the early returns from the 2020 census. It basically is all good news for conservatives. California and New York are losing seats in Congress. Florida, Texas, and North Carolina are adding. Florida, Texas, and North Carolina are controlled by Republican legislatures. So they're losing from Democrat-held states. They're gaining in Republican states. Why do you think people are moving out of Democrat states and moving to Republican states? And I was reading a story that was kind of by a liberal organization wrote the story. It was AP, right? And they were even saying people in California and New York are now questioning if they're losing these things because Democrats are so much in control. Well, no, you don't question it. It's fact. There's no questioning it. People want out of where Democrats are in charge. This is the East in our country. If Democrats are in charge, people want out. Where they are not in charge, people want in. This is so simple. And somehow we've got to figure it out that that's what we are. We're still a right-leaning country. We're a right-of-center country. Everything you consume on your device, your phone, your television, the radio, the podcast, everything you consume everywhere is telling you that America is a left-leaning country. It is all a lie. It is not a left-leaning country. You know, I have this, I was literally driving down the road the other day and I had this fantasy. And I thought, what would the number be if we took the epicenter of, let's take the top 30 cities, the top 40 cities in America by population. So Kansas City would fit in that. The top 40 cities in America. And we went, okay, here's City Hall, downtown, the center of downtown. And we drew what, a 10-mile radius around it? Or would it be a 20-mile radius around it? What would the number be? 10 miles is fine with me because it would, in any city, it would swing everything. What if we just took 10 miles around the very center of every big city we have in this country, and we say, okay, we'll let you guys all break off. You're all on your own. We'll recognize you unitedly between all of you as the 51st state. We'll give you representation. We'll give you a couple of senators. We'll even give you members of Congress, a bunch of them. They're all yours. We'll redistrict. You can have your own district there. We'll give you a couple in each one of these. And we just give it to you. And you guys all are so like-minded and completely run by Democrats, you just become your own entity. And then we will let the rest of the country vote the way it is now. What would we have? What would we have in America? Can you imagine? How many states would vote for the Republican candidate of president if you took the 10 miles away from the center of the city in the top 40 cities in America? Would the Republican win 45 states? I think he might still have trouble in places like California and New York because there's so, because, you know, you'd want to do a 20-mile radius there. If you could do a 20-mile radius, you might have it. But if you did 10 miles everywhere, you'd probably still lose California and New York. But where else? Chicago, maybe. Maybe Illinois doesn't flip. 10 miles? 10 miles in from the lake in Chicago? Woo! That's a whole lot of Dem votes that are gone. I mean, I don't know why I fantasize about that, but really what we have is a tale of two countries. When we say our country is divided, it simply is no more complicated than you're either an urban dweller, okay, and a belief in the urban area. This is what you're committed to. You want to live in the city, or you're not. And it's no, and Kansas is the example. I just gave you the counties where Biden won, and he barely won in Johnson County. He got 52% of the vote, but he won it. It's close to the city, and we know where the heavy parts are, closer to downtown to vote Democrat than farther out, like where I live, west of the city, out in Lenexa, West Lenexa. So, I mean, it's so easy to see if you just spend a little bit of time exactly who we are and what we are. And we say divided, but I don't even know that that's the case. I don't feel like there's a lot of hate out there necessarily. There are political people on both sides that are too much into it, but I don't run around. I'm not spending any of my time hating people. I just don't have that. I'm out. I'm out on that. I'll give you an example. Last night on Tucker Carlson, he was talking about, you know, we need to step up and start saying to people as you're walking in the park, please take your mask off. You make me uncomfortable, which is a reasonable position. You should be uncomfortable. If you can't identify somebody in a police lineup, you should be a little bit afraid of somebody wearing a mask, right? Who wears masks? Bank robbers, right? Criminals put masks on, disguise themselves. It's a little discomforting. And it is a, he made a very cogent point. It's completely unnerving and not good for humans to look at other humans and not be able to identify them, to see their face. And it's unnerving when you see somebody with a mask on. And it would not be an unreasonable position to say to somebody in a park outside, there is no science, this is all political, please take that off, you're making me uncomfortable. There's nothing wrong with what he was saying. What's wrong with what he's saying is conservatives won't do that. We won't do it because we don't care what other people do. I couldn't care less if people wear masks. I may turn, if we get on an airplane, you know, when masks are gone and there's like 100 people on the flight and 10 of them or 15 of them are wearing masks, will I sit with my wife and whisper to her and make fun of people wearing masks? Probably. Will I say anything outward to them? No. Well, I won't make fun of them as much as I'll just say I feel bad for them. I feel bad for a person if they're either in a physical condition where they're risking their life by flying, which I don't think they would be doing, A, but B, that they just live in so much fear that they live like that. I feel bad for people like that. I don't want to be that paranoid and scared. I don't want to live my life that way. So the fallacy in all this is we're not going to do it. You can walk up to somebody and say, please take your mask off. It makes me uncomfortable. There's no science supporting this. It's all political. You're outdoors. We can't transmit the disease to each other. Please take it off. I could do that, but what do I care about? I don't care enough about the other person. Let them live their life. I don't care if they wear a t-shirt of a band that I don't like. Okay? I don't care if they paint their hair blue or have 7-inch fingernails that are starting to curl at the end. I don't care what people do. It's not my business to go tell someone else what to do. And therein lies the complete and utter difference between conservatives and liberals. Because all they do is run around and tell everyone else how to live, or you're not good enough. And these vaccine numbers are backing up everything we've always known about America. They say about a third of the population is vaccinated now, double vaccinated, 100 million people, about a third of the country. It's more than that because the backlog takes time to get all the data in. They're saying another 40 million have had their first shot, but not their second shot. Apparently, a lot of people are now choosing not to get their second shot. They feel good after their first shot. They're like, you know what? There's side effects with the second one. That's just a booster. I have enough in me. I'm okay. Listen, that's a personal decision. Doesn't really matter. But so here's all these people that have taken this shot, and now the giant push is on for more people to get it. Well, who do you think isn't getting it? People that have had COVID, people that don't like vaccines, and some conservatives who say, you just can't make me live my life. I'm going to live the way I want to live. Well, we're getting to a critical point now where people are going to, and then they're going to go, oh boy. And this is, it's crazy because all these people on the left have always been so skeptical of big pharma, but they're going to jump right in bed with these people because now what it's going to have to be, it's going to have to be an annual shot. You know it is. You're going to have the booster shot every year, just like the flu shot. Well, nobody got the flu shot this year. Heck, nobody got the flu. Are you telling me nobody got the flu this year because we washed our hands and wore masks? I am not buying that. I think nobody got the flu this year because everybody got the flu, was told they had COVID or was classified as COVID, and they went home and they got better and life was good. Yes, you have the signs of COVID. Go home, just quarantine for 14 days and shut it down. The flu numbers were epically low. I predicted that last summer. I was like, there, you wait till you see the flu numbers in America. Between staying home, washing hands, you know, being aware of people around you and things like that, you knew the numbers were going to go down. And they did. Now the scientists are very worried that the flu is going to become a massive problem because you need some people to get the flu every year or our antibodies can go away. That we will lose our resistance to the flu virus if not enough of us are exposed to the flu virus. It all just makes your head spin. They don't know what they're talking about. Come on. They're just making stuff up as they go on some of these things. We don't know. We don't know. But the push is on to mandate that everybody get this shot, and they can't do that. That will be too far for too many people, and all hell will break loose if they do that. All right, Quentin Lucas in Kansas City has loosened restrictions with masks. And I'm like, what do you mean? He's loosened restrictions. Loosening restriction is not telling a restaurant it can be full capacity, is it? If you still have to wear a mask? That's not a mask restriction. That's a capacity issue for restaurants. So he says, oh, we loosened the restrictions on masks. That's what he wanted the headline to be. Here's how they loosened it. You don't have to wear it outside now. Which was like this giant news day Monday in Kansas City, to which every Kansas Cityan replied, wait, what? I was supposed to be wearing it outside? There's nobody in Kansas City, Missouri wearing their masks outside. You go to parks everywhere. You're telling me if I go play Swope Park Golf Course, the golfers have their masks on? No, they don't. The guys playing pickup basketball down by the plaza or the tennis courts. Matt, No. And I don't think they were ever really enforcing an outside mask mandate. This is ridiculous. Quentin Lucas trying to make it look like he's doing something, and he's not. Loosen it up. Loosen it up. I believe Friday will be the last day in Johnson County, Kansas, with a mask mandate. After that, it will be a recommendation, and it's over. If a private business tells me to put it on, I'm shopping elsewhere. I'm taking my business, and I will let them know. I will put it on. I will ask for the manager. I will say the mandate is over. I'm choosing to not patronize your business, and I'm going to tell all my friends not to come here. It's that simple. Once the government, because the signs all on the door say one thing. What do they say? Due to local regulations, you must wear a mask at all times. No, not after Friday in Johnson County, because it's going to be over. It's going to be over. So anybody that has a sign up that says due to regulations, that won't be accurate. That will not be accurate. They're going to have a recommendation that people wear masks. Look, the policy's real simple. Masks are welcome, but not mandatory. That's it. You're welcome to wear your mask or not. We don't care. And I look forward to that. The Oscars got the lowest rating of all time. No surprise there. Piers Morgan, you may have heard of him, had a great line. He said, well, in 2020, the Oscars died. This was it. This was the end of it. It was just political speeches, basically. I didn't watch it all, but the reviews on it are horrible. It was lifeless. You know, it used to be glamorous and fun. There was a big audience and music and song and dance, and it was entertaining. There was none of that. It was dull. It was lifeless. It was dead. Piers Morgan said the Oscars died as we know it in 2021. And then he said the red carpet was, there was no carpet. It was like a red rug. And the short little distance people walked in were like, who are these people? We don't know who these celebrities. We don't know who these people are. He said, I've seen more stars at my Christmas pub drinks party. He's got a pub by his house in England where they have a little Christmas drinks party every year, right? Everybody has some sort of little, your favorite local watering hole. He said, I've seen more stars at my Christmas pub drinks party than I saw at the Oscars on Sunday night. He's exactly right. It doesn't hurt me at all that the Oscars have bottomed out. We are brought to you today by Buck Roofing and Construction, online at rbuckroofing.com. It is a free roof inspection at Buck Roofing. Just give them a call for that free inspection, 384-2680, or look online at rbuckroofing.com. Whether you need a, and I've said this a couple of times, I try not to say it very often, but it is true. Dozens and dozens and dozens of places Ron Buck and his team have gone out and inspected a roof, and it's one little thing, and they go back to the truck, grab a couple of nails and a hammer and go up there and fix it and don't charge you. It happened with my mom. They said, oh, there's this piece of flashing that got loose. It was redirecting the water in a funky way. It was causing a little bit of a problem here. Let me fix that for you. And Ron was up there for 7 or 8 minutes. Just didn't need to buy new flashing. He just need to and he didn't charge her a thing. And he said, I didn't do that because it was your mom, Kevin. We do that all the time. We want them to know that we're good, honest people. When it's time for a new roof, that we're the ones to put it on. He's put a gorgeous roof on my new house. I'm very happy with Buck Roofing. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park, is the jeweler you'll recommend to your friends and family. Gary and Dave and Cameron are there every single day. They don't work on commission. They will fit your budget. And right now, Mother's Day is a, you know, it's a low price point. A lot of things in there for under 100 bucks. You can go in and find for mom that sparkle and shine. Just something that says, I love you. Whether it's your mom or the mother of your children, it's Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. And bstock.net, maybe mom would like a new Microsoft Surface. That's right. He's got a huge inventory right now of Microsoft Surface computers, 30% lower than anyone else. Totally legit. Check the inventory out online at bstock.net. That's the letter B as in boy, bstock.net. Or visit them at 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. It's the old Toys R Us building. It's not crowded. It's a giant warehouse where they store all their electronics, folks. This outlet store really is an outlet store. There's nothing else around it. It's just a big building and parking lot. They need like 10 parking spaces instead of the 1,000 that they have or whatever, right? It's never crowded. It's never busy. You walk right in. You'll think, wow, does anybody shop here? Yeah, they do. And they save big money when they show up. But their main business is online. Bstock.net, 14680 South Flaming Road. And they are now hiring at Bstock. If you or somebody you know is looking for some work in the e-commerce industry. When was the last time you started really looking and were excited that the Royals are going to play? And what time does the game start? And who's pitching tonight? When was the last time? I'm there. I'm like, okay, Junis is going on Tuesday. Miner's going on Wednesday. They're playing the Pirates twice. Wow, funny game times. 5:35 starts. That's unusual. I got to be ready by 5:35. I'm watching the Royals. They are 14-7. Are you kidding me? They just did something they've never done. They won a four-game series in Detroit. It was their first four-game road sweep since 1999. They gave up 5 runs in the series. Unbelievable. It seemed like the Tigers had runners all day again yesterday, and they did. And the Royals pitch out of the jam. Now, the Detroit stinks. We did a podcast last week. This is where you got to fatten up. This is the team you got to be 5 or 6 games over 500 against this year. Well, not anymore. Now I'm going to say the Royals need to be 8 games over 500 against the Tigers because they're 4 games over already. And as many times as they play them and as bad as they are, I'm going to be really disappointed if the Royals aren't 8 games over 500 this year against the Tigers. And we're talking about a chunkier schedule here. So let's get after it. The Royals aren't great. But Mike Matheny summed it up this way. He says, people call them the little things, but we think they're the big things. They were asking how Nicky Lopez, batting 9th, filling in for Mondesi at shortstop, is the best 9-hole hitter in baseball. He is. He has more hits than anybody that bats 9th in Major League Baseball. Nicky Lopez. I've always liked Nicky Lopez, but I was starting to give up on him because I know he regressed and went backwards. I've always liked him. I've always thought, boy, that's more than just a functional player. He's not Whit Merrifield, okay? He's not going to be a guy that hits for power and drives in a lot of runs and things like that. So he's not Whit Merrifield, but the versatility is outrageous, and he's just a quality ball player in the things that he can do for you. And guys get hurt enough that you play a lot when you're that guy. And Nicky Lopez is that guy, and I'm so happy to see him having success. And he's a huge reason why the Royals are 14-7. When you have the best 9-hitter in baseball, that's a big deal. That means Whit Merrifield's coming up to drive you in. I mean, you can't overstate how important it is to have some success in the 9-hole, to not just have it be a wasteland, especially with a guy like Merrifield right behind you 3 times a game. So, Nicky Lopez bunts, the Royals steal bases. They play small ball. They got a 2-run homer on Monday from Santana. The other run was, what, a Dyson double, a bunt to third, and a sacrifice fly, small ball. That was the winning run. That was the 3rd run. That was the winner. And Matheny said, people call them little things, but we think they're big things. He said, every single night, we just dig in and know that somebody's going to pick us up. That's exactly right. So it was Salvi forever. And gosh darn it, Salvi hasn't contributed much in the last 4 games. Where are you at, Salvi? I don't think that's true. Did he have a big part in Friday night's game against Detroit? Or was it the day before against Tampa? I think it was the day before against Tampa, the walk-off hit. Yeah, that was at home. It was at home, right? Yeah. So four days in a row that Salvi hasn't won the game for the Royals. Doggone it. But they just keep winning because people are pitching in. And if you dig in, somebody will pick us up. You got to get at least one of two from the Pirates. Pirates are hot. They're 10-5 in their last 15. Tomorrow's game, Wednesday's game against Pittsburgh, they're trotting out a right-hander named Mitch Keller, who has a 7.16 ERA. Mike Minor will go in the second game of the series against that Keller, who isn't very good. So even if the Royals don't continue their five-game winning streak and make it six with their first game against Pittsburgh, Jake Junis on the hill on Tuesday night, even if they don't, they should have a great chance on Wednesday against Mitch Keller, who isn't very good. But you got to get one of these. You just look at these series because they really set up that baseball is a game of series. So the Royals arrive in Pittsburgh for two. And they know that we got to win one. If we win two, that's great. But don't come in here and lose two games and then go to the next stop. No, you got to find a way to win one. And the Royals have just been very good at that. The television ratings are up about 20% from 2019. And the Royals are winning. It is exciting. Also in baseball, oh man, this is unbelievable. They're saying Monday night, Shohei Ohtani, who's with the Angels, who was here in Kansas City last week, he is a starting pitcher in DH for the Angels. Last night he pitched 9 strikeouts. In the game, he scored 3 runs, he knocked in 2, he leads the American League in home runs, and he's a starting pitcher. And people are saying Monday night was the greatest single game any player in baseball has played since Babe Ruth. I think that's right. Somebody could have thrown a no-hitter, or somebody could have gone 6-for-6 with 3 home runs and 9 RBIs. Seen some great games. But if you are the starting pitcher and you get the win and you got 9 strikeouts and you scored 3 runs and you knocked in 2 runs and you lead the league in home runs, wow. Greatest game anybody's played since Babe Ruth, and something tells me that's not his best game this year, that he'll have another one that's better than that. Never seen anything like it. If you're his agent, I mean, you have an unbelievable argument that you have to pay me 2 salaries. You pay me the DH salary, and you pay me the starting pitcher salary. What would that salary be, and how is Shohei Ohtani not making $15 million a year more than anyone else in baseball? He is the most valuable player in the game. There's no doubt. You're taking up 1 roster spot, and you're a starting pitcher, and you lead the league in home runs. You are the most valuable player in baseball. The MVP, if he's healthy, the MVP discussion is over in the American League. It's over. You cannot be more valuable than someone who's in your starting rotation and leads the league in home runs. It's ridiculous. I mean, just insane. Big fan of the way he plays the game, too. Looks like he has fun. Couple of football notes. Bill Belichick is on board with hating the new Chiefs rule. The Chiefs wanted to expand the jersey number options for players. We talked about that. Tom Brady hated that last week and said it's going to lead to bad football and confusion and all this other stuff. Well, Bill Belichick now says he hates it, but he won't give his reasons why. Seems to me maybe the Chiefs wanted this rule because they thought they could piss off Belichick and Brady. If that's all it accomplishes is they make Belichick and Brady mad, I'm all behind you, Chiefs. Way to go. Any rule the Chiefs can get implemented in the NFL that upsets Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, I'm on board with. Is anybody else on board with those? I shouldn't pick on them too bad. They're both good conservative Republicans, Belichick and Brady, as is Andy Reid and others. But it's just, I don't know, it tickles me that their reaction would be that they hate it. Somehow, some way, the Chiefs must think this gives them an advantage, that it's not just for the players. We discussed it last week a little bit. I think Andy Reid is saying, there won't be confusion on my offense. My guys will know who to block. Tom Brady's concern is my offensive linemen are not going to know who to block because linebackers are going to be wearing weird numbers now and secondary players. And you won't, used to be able to identify by the number very quickly who to block and that it will be more difficult now. That may be the case. And I think Andy Reid has said that's not going to be our problem in Kansas City. That may be your problem. And if it is your problem, that gives our defense an advantage. So that's where I think he's coming from. I don't really care as long as Belichick and Brady don't like it. I'm on board with it. A couple of Chiefs players like it. Mecole Hardman likes it. He's going to change back to his college number if he pays Chad Henne to steal number 4 away. You're going to have to pay him. Henne will do it. Why wouldn't Henne change his number for money? I would. Henne's not going to get on the field unless Mahomes gets hurt, right? So I'd be in on that. See what kind of money Mecole Hardman's got. Or do you have to buy a guy a car? Or what do you have to do? Not really sure. BetMGM is something you've heard of probably. You see it all over in sports. Golfers are wearing the logo. You see it on the signage in ballpark stuff. BetMGM is a sports book, essentially. It's up and running in New Jersey, not in backwards places like Missouri and Kansas, where we can't seem to get it passed because our state governments don't want the free revenue, apparently. So BetMGM is a big deal. In January in New Jersey, they offered a wager in the Chiefs-Browns playoff game. Patrick Mahomes, over under 300 yards. Baker Mayfield, over under 300 yards, passing. And you could bet on those. And so some people went in there and did. And about five or six people in a day or two, they have casinos there, so it's not just online. There's ticket windows and whatnot. This was a ticket issue, not an online issue. So about four or five people noticed, and apparently somebody went back and reported, hey, is my ticket valid? This didn't print right. It says Mahomes, oh, it left the three off. Instead of over 300 yards, it said over 00 yards. And the same thing with Mayfield. And so people were betting it, and they found this out, and they stopped, and they fixed the glitch. It was printing the tickets wrong to where it didn't say 300. Well, they didn't pay those people when clearly Mahomes and Mayfield each threw for 1 yard or more, right? They didn't pay them, and they appealed to the gaming board and said, we don't want to have to pay them. Those are invalid tickets. And I can't believe they fought it. The total number of tickets that they had to pay out that said 00 yards was only $10,500 total. And the board in New Jersey said, you're paying those people. And BetMGM paid them. And I only bring this up because I don't think BetMGM should have ever fought this. It's your fault. You printed tickets that were bogus. Pay them. $10,500 is nothing for BetMGM. Pay it. And they fought it. I think it's important to know who you're dealing with when you do business. We talked about FanDuel and the things that they offer, the freebies. They had a deal last year where they paid all the tickets on a push. I think they paid all the tickets on a push. Or, oh no, there was a crazy play. An extra point or something got goofy. And it was pretty clear that if you had the favorite, you were about to win, and something crazy happened and you didn't. And I think the fact that they didn't made it a push for the other side, so they didn't have to pay those people. But they went ahead and paid all the people that had it for publicity. And I think they said they paid out something like $85,000 worth of tickets, but they got great publicity out of the thing. Like, that's right. That's marketing and advertising too. Well, for $10,500 for BetMGM, do you really want the bad publicity that you're trying to screw these people out of money on tickets that you misprinted? Just fess up and pay it, man. BetMGM. And we finish with the NCAA, which is expected this week to pass permanently the transfer rule. If you haven't followed this closely, we've talked a lot about the transfer portal and what's happening in college athletes, with mostly in high-profile sports is where we're following this, but it's happening in lesser sports. You can transfer in anything. Football and basketball, men's basketball, we've seen all these players transferring. They gave a one-year exemption and said this year, because of COVID and different things, we're going to let you transfer anywhere you want one time, and never have to sit out. So we've seen thousands of basketball players do this already, and football players. And the NCAA this week is voting, and we expect them to ratify and make that rule permanent. Now, I guess eventually it slows down and you don't have the years this big, right? Because once you've done it once, you can't do it again. So eventually it won't be as crazy and bad as it is now, but it is kind of a mess, and it's very difficult for coaches. I don't feel bad for coaches. They make a lot of money, and it's their job to figure these things out and adapt and change with the times and all that. I am wondering, though, in light of what we saw in college basketball this past year, the number of transfers at Baylor, the national champion, and things of that nature, and the complete lack of Kansas, Kentucky, Carolina, Duke being any sort of factor in the NCAA tournament or even being in it, I wonder if this rule is going to lead to more parity, and would that be a good thing? I like parity in sports. I think we need more parity in college football. Because there's not as many games in college football, it becomes more difficult to knock the big boy out. They only got to go win 11 or 12 games, right? And then their conference game, or if they lose one, they're still in, with the system. We know who the teams are that people like. If you are a five-star stud and you go to Alabama and you do nothing but lift weights your first year, and then your second year you're on special teams and you still haven't gotten to play linebacker, are you sitting there going, you know, I can go play at Ole Miss and start, and I'm out of here? I wonder what's going to happen at these big football factories. How long are you going to sit before you play at those places? Because there's a lot of great players at Alabama, I'll just use them as an example, that don't really get on the field in any meaningful way until their third year there. And how many kids are going to sit there for a year and go, I can play, and it's really close between me and the sophomore or the junior, but I'm 2 years behind him. When am I going to get on the field? And I'm out of here. I think it may lead to some parity in the sports. That would be a good thing because it's chaos right now, and I don't like it. I'm just telling you my overall feeling is I don't like it, but I want to be open to the possibility that I love it. I don't like it right now, but I'm open to the possibility that it may be great for college athletics. It may be because I do think, you know, I think sports is always about your team having a chance. Everybody's got different standards. If you're an Alabama fan, it's not about having a chance. It's will we win the national title? But if you're an Ole Miss fan, it's do we have a chance to win our division this year? Is there a chance? And I think that fuels sports. I think that's what people love about their team. For some schools, it's every year. For some schools, it's every 4 or 5 years. But when that year comes around, it's magical. And it means a lot. Hey, we got a good team this year. We got a chance. And if that means more teams have more of a chance because there's more parity, I think I'm all for anything that creates that in college athletics. Hey, thanks for listening to KKHI. If you'd like to sign up and become a patron, the Between the Lines 2.0 will be up later on Tuesday. Danny Klinkskill will be my guest. If you'd like to see on that, it's $5 a month. I basically do about 3 bonus podcasts or patron podcasts a week, and then the newsletter, typically on Saturday mornings. Folks who have subscribed say they like it. We appreciate that. If you'd like to sign up, go to kkhasissues.com. $5 a month or more, and you are in as a patron. If not, just hit that like, follow, subscribe button. And find somebody else to listen to the podcast and have them hit like, follow, or subscribe. It makes a great deal of difference if people actually hit that button, and it is free. So keep banging that thing. And I don't say this often enough, but so many of you have been so gracious with the sponsors of this podcast. You're choosing to do business with them. You can be rest assured if they're advertising on this podcast that they're a lot like you and I. They may not be able to put a giant sign up, you know, a big red sign with an elephant on it said shop here, right? But if they're supporting this podcast, I think you know what kind of people you're dealing with. And I think that I think we've got a community here with this podcast. We have a community. We have a community of people who live their life a certain way, believe certain things, love sports, love America. That's what this is rooted in. I love sports and I love America. And I think you're the same way. And I can promise you that our sponsors love sports and they love America. And it is critically important to the owners and decision makers at those businesses, that America remains great. So I can't thank you enough for supporting the businesses we have here at Kevin Keatsman Has Issues.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com. and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.